Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll continue on starting in verse 18 this morning. And we're going to read verses 18 through 24 as we get started. Once again, he uses this term, little children. Little children, it is the last time. And ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And the title I have for the message this morning is Continue in the Truth. I don't know how good of a job I'll be able to do to break down every phrase in those verses. My mind kind of went away from that, and I was focusing. What was on my heart as I studied this and read through this is the fact that we need to continue in the truth. And we do live in the last time, and the number of antichrists abound around us. But knowing the truth, we must continue in it and continue in following God. And that's really the point of the message this morning. But we need to continue in the truth. He says, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but you know it. But because you know it, in that no lie is of the truth. And again, he said in verse 24 that let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And so we have the truth. And he's challenging them to continue in it, abide in it. How many times that word abide is used in this book? And to continue in and remain in, we must abide and continue in the truth. But we do live in the last time. So my first point is just evidence of the last time. He said it is the last time, and it gives the reasons for that. He's first of all that there antichrists are everywhere. We know, and you can study eschatology, and it's not really the point of this message about the man of sin, the son of perdition, the antichrist, who will be revealed. He's saying that there are all, even now, and this is not, this was written a while ago, and he said even now there are many antichrists. There are many that are against Christ, and they're everywhere. And so he said, so we know it's the last time, and we know that because there's that spirit of Antichrist is already around, and we see it around us in the world, don't we? It's the Word of God is attacked in many ways. I appreciate the depth of the teaching in Sunday school. And I learned a lot in Sunday school. I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't know all these things. And I'll just be honest with you. I didn't know. I never really thought of the book of Esther as one that had been attacked so much. I was thinking like, well, why do they hate so much the book of Esther? But the world hates the Word of God in general, and they want to deny his teaching. And that's what they do. And ultimately, they're denying the Lord Jesus Christ is what they're doing. That's what the antichrists, and that's all around us. They don't want to. I mean, I was talking to Brother Lentz this weekend, and one of the reasons of many that I just can't stand social media is that, and it's in my own, I guess, depravity. I'll go into the comments, and that really displays depravity of man. But you see any kind of reference to God or Christianity or anything like that, And you go in the comments, and I don't know how many times I've seen comments about how Christians believe in fairy tales. You know, what a fairy tale. And they accuse us, and it's like, no, it's not fiction. And that's what they're trying to say about the book of Esther, as we were learning this morning. No, it's not fiction. It can't be. And you can't. This book is so perfect. And you study this book, and you look at it from cover to cover, and the amount of time over which it was written, and the amount of authors, and the amount of different periods of history, and different, just how, it, but it's one consistent message, and there are no errors. And anytime, there's been times and where somebody tried to say, well, look at this, look at this is a contradiction. And anytime somebody tries to do that, or even if you're reading the Word of God and you say, man, that kind of seems like a contradiction, I would encourage you to study it. Because what you'll find out is there are no contradictions in the Word of God. And sometimes on the surface, you might think, oh, that seems like it. But if you study it, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. But the world wants to attack it. Satan, from the very beginning, said, yeah, God hath not said that. Did he say that? He's trying to create doubt. And if he can get you to doubt a book of the Bible, then and you say, oh, maybe there is. You know, I don't know. Is Esther a book of the Bible? And then if you get to that point, then you open yourself up to the rest of the scriptures to say, well, that's not one. Well, what about this? And I know there's a lot of argument about, does this fit in the canon of scripture? And but God said that he would preserve his word. His very words would be preserved. And I can't imagine trusting God with my eternal security that he'll keep me saved. But he can't preserve his word. Of course he can preserve his word. I don't have to use human reasoning and logic, though he tells us in his word that he'll preserve it. But it's attacked everywhere we look, and God's word is attacked, and because they hate God, they don't want to be accountable. I've worked with people that were atheists, that claimed to be atheists, and they would give me a hard time. And why does somebody not want to believe in God? Which, by the way, they're setting themselves up as God if they try to say that, because they don't want to be held accountable to him. And so all around they deny. But then even another really dangerous thing to do is to try to take the teachings of the world and try to blend them with Scripture. And that's really dangerous to do. And that's when you get all kinds of weird theories, even in Genesis, and they try to say, well, maybe God, over millions of years, and maybe each day was that, and it's like, no, you're misinterpreting. You take the Bible's literal unless it says otherwise, and the day and the night and the day were the first day, and so on and so forth, and you can't try to blend teaching of the world and Scripture to try to make it more palatable. You can't. Just we have to take God's word for what it says, but there's just, because you'll start to doubt things. So Antichrist, they're everywhere, and we see it all around us, of people just, but they're denying, ultimately they're denying Christ. And that's what chapter 4 and verse 3 of 1 John, it says, in every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world. And it's only gotten worse in the day and time in which we live. The teachings of this world, it's all around us. The indoctrination against God, against Christ. And He's warning them there, and he's saying we're in the last time, and it's only gotten worse in the day in which we live, and so the antichrists are everywhere, and they are everywhere, and then apostates also are revealed here by their exiting. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might make manifest that they were not of us. They're demonstrating the fact that they weren't of us. And we you see that, unfortunately, but it is, it's taught in Scripture, and we've seen it, I've seen it, where people that, they left the truth. You know, to apostatize from something, you have to have the truth in the first place. But they went out from us. And why would they? It's demonstrating that they were not of all of us. And this is just, again, evidence of the last days, the last time that we're in, that not everyone will stay. And we don't like that. And it breaks our heart. I remember vividly, it wasn't that long ago, but I still remember vividly, I started teaching the teens at Flat Rock right around end of 2019 into 2020. And I remember we had kind of an older group, you know, people towards the graduating high school. And, you know, the first time somebody graduated and then they got out of church, that broke my heart. And it happened a few times. And nobody is happy when somebody leaves. If you are, there's something wrong with you. And I was hurting. And it happened a few times. And I thought, at the time, and I remember talking to Brother Titus. We came to a revival here. Brother Gordon was preaching. And it was a few years ago. I remember 2022 or 21, I can't remember. But I was standing out there on the sidewalk and just saying, I know I'm called to preach, but I only have a handful of students. And when one of them leave, it hurts. And I don't know how a pastor can deal with that. How can you deal with I have a hard time dealing with one of my people that I'm teaching in my class leave church. Now, I mean, you're a pastor of a whole church, like that's heavy, and that's one of the things you can be taught and kind of have a head knowledge of, but something hit when June 7th, when Pastor Titus and we voted to make me the pastor, there's a weight that immediately hit me. I'm like, this is a heavy responsibility. I care deeply for everyone that's here. You're here. Even if you're not a member, I care deeply about you. And it hurts. And it should hurt. It should hurt. We should care and love one another. But I thought, but it's going to happen. We're in the last days. And people are going to. But that doesn't mean you have to. You understand? Like, you don't have to leave. You don't have to depart from the faith. But it is the last days. It's evidence of the last time that people will leave. And I remember my pastor saying, and I never heard the message, but I remember him talking about preaching the message. Thank God it's only some. Not everybody is going to leave. And we understand that there's going to be people that stay faithful. And I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the ones in my life that remain faithful. That's one of the reasons I was kind of emotional going back to Flat Rock. And it only been 2 months, but man, it felt like a lot longer than that. But then you see people stepping up and doing things. And they called up, they're going to have a special by the Willing Servants Quartet. I was in that quartet since I was a junior in high school until 2 months ago. And I'll go almost 20 years, that quartet, we call them the Willing Servants, and there's been different members in it throughout the last couple of decades. Which is kind of crazy to think of because, like, I was in high school and, like, that doesn't seem right that it's been that long. But they called up the Willing Servants and Michael and Samantha. But I was like, well, my wife and I are in there. Are they going to do a duet or something? I didn't know. And Abby Hugan got up there with them. And she was one of my students. In fact, the one student really that was faithful that I had when we left. And, you know, the work is continuing at Flat Rock. It was good to see. I mean, we haven't been gone that long, but, like, people are stepping up. The choir got up and sing, and Michael Hugan's now leading the choir, and pastor's singing in the choir again, and they're singing, and, you know, there's continuing there. But I know if it's because of Scripture that if I go back in 5 years, there may be people that left, and that's going to break my heart. But we don't have to leave. We can continue. And that's what he's saying. You don't, there will be some 2 Thessalonians chapter, or actually 1 Timothy. I have texts from both. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. Unfortunately, that almost sounds wrong to say about Scripture, but it's sad to see, but it is true, that people do leave and they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They might say, well, you know, at least they're still in church. No, they're not in a true church. They're given into seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They went to a church. They're still in church, but it's a false church. And I've seen that, where they leave. They're not in church. They're in a false church that teaches doctrine that is pleasing to the flesh, that doesn't have the distinctives that the Lord set up in his kind of church. That's not a church. That's just a man-made organization. A true church the Lord started. And there's only one kind of that. And that sounds really exclusive and mean. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. And there's false doctrine. And why? Because it's pleasing to the flesh. Doctrines of devils. And there's Satan has a counterfeit for everything. He does. He has counterfeit Bibles. We heard about them. Well, what kind of Bible in that Bible says this book that is in this Bible is probably fiction? What? And there was two of them that were mentioned in Sunday school this morning. There's false Bibles. There's false Jesuses that are taught by Satan. There's false doctrine all over this world, and it's dangerous. And that's one of those weights that I have that I'm supposed to watch for that and make sure it doesn't make its way into this place. Is that we got to keep false doctrine out of here, but it's the latter times there are some, and they'll depart from the faith, and they'll give heed to those seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's why it's important that you know what this church believes, not just, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. It's good that you know what this church believes, but you need to know why. You need to believe it, not just because Faith Baptist Church in Wausau believes, not because Pastor Titus preached on it for 25 years, but and not because your parents taught you. No, because that's what God's Word says. You have to understand that. I remember in high school, I think I've already said this to you, coming out of high school, and I remember Pastor Hugin saying, it's dangerous. There's most Christian colleges, he couldn't really recommend one, to be honest with you. He can't recommend a Christian college, and some people don't like that. But the problem is, most Christian colleges, they're ecumenical, and you have people coming from all different things. And if you're not grounded in the faith, and I don't know how many high schoolers coming out of high school are. I know I wasn't. And I went to a public school, and that was dangerous too. I went to U of M Dearborn. It wasn't dangerous because of the university, but because it was a public university. And the things that they taught me in these classes were absolutely ridiculous. And so many times I would go to pastor and I'd say, yeah, I had to take, I'm going to forget the whole point of why I'm going down this road. Let me just say this. If you're not grounded in the faith, you could give heed to those false doctrines that you talk. You go to a Christian school, you're going to hear different viewpoints. You're going to hear people that don't believe in election. You're going to hear people that don't believe in church authority, and they're going to make it sound good. That's the seducing spirit part. It does sound good. You go to a public university, it's just as dangerous. You're going to hear humanism taught. You're going to hear people. I had a general science. This is an annoying thing. One of you guys, I think I was talking to one of you guys, Joshua, maybe he's going to a school where maybe it's a technical school. I could be wrong. Where like there are schools where you just go ahead and learn like exactly what you're going to school for. You don't have to take all those ridiculous prereqs. I had to take those prereqs. I had to take anthropology. I had to take anthropology. You know what I had to do in that class? I had to go to the Detroit Zoo and sit there and observe monkeys for like 6 hours and take notes on it and write a paper about it. This is legit. I should find the paper. I have it. It's on my OneDrive somewhere. I had to. You know what they taught in that class? And I knew it was ridiculous at the time. I knew it was already. They talked about Lucy. You heard about Lucy, you know, like, oh, they bridged the gap between, you know, apes and humans. That's nonsense. But I remember telling my pastor about it, and he gave me good notes on it. And, you know, there's good stuff on, like, Answers in Genesis on that. But, like, it was ridiculous. But, you know, and I wasn't being attacked on the doctrines of grace. I wasn't being attacked on things that I wasn't really grounded in at the time. But I was being attacked. I had a general science professor that literally called God Santa Claus in a very mocking way. And that was just it turns your stomach. But that's the danger of the world. The danger, and there's danger in public universities, there's danger in Christian, and I say that because most of them, I mean, I don't know of one that is truly Christian to where you can go. I mean, people go to them and it's dangerous. People from Flat Rock that I were in the teen class, they went to some Christian, even maybe considered Baptist colleges, and they left the faith before they graduated. They didn't come back. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. There's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and people are going to give heed to that. And so my pastor warned, he warned us vehemently about that. And I stayed. And that's why if you're going to school somewhere, it's good to stay in church. I heard, was it Lila was going to Brother Gordon's church when she was in school? You need to do that. Don't take a break from church when you go to college, because the world, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And my pastor hammered on that, and I was thankful for it. And anytime I had something, I was like, this is weird, I'd just go talk to pastor, and he'd just give me some notes, and we had a good conversation. In fact, I was taking college classes with him too. And I had no idea I was going to need them later on, but I was thankful that he taught those things. I'm just warning you, it's dangerous. And we got to take these warnings in Scripture to heart. We got to heed the warnings of Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 3, and I'm just kind of jumping in there, and again, I'm not trying to exposit this whole text, but it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. They were being told some things that, oh, it already had, the resurrection already happened and all that, but he was saying, don't be deceived by that. But he also said, the falling away shall happen. There will be people that leave the faith, and we've seen it. You've seen it. You've been in church long enough. You don't have to be in church really that long, unfortunately, to see people fall away from there. You are, like, I was looking over here for some reason. But we are. But in the latter times, people are going to leave. They're going. But that, again, that doesn't mean that you have to leave. But it's so important that you understand what God's Word teaches, as was mentioned at the. Listen, you hear preaching. I heard it at the nursing home last week. I'm thankful for it. And it was, you have to study. You have to study. Don't just do your Bible reading and just, oh, I read my Bible today. Study it. Understand it. If you have questions, ask. Ask someone here. You can ask me. I'm not the smartest person here, but you ask me, and I will get you an answer. I will get you an answer. And if I don't know right away, I'll say, give me a couple of days. I will make sure to get you an answer. And that's what, you know, study it. Study it and understand. Don't just say, well, that's just what my church believes. That's very dangerous to do. And how many people probably got out of church because that's what my church believed was their mentality. And there's evidence of the last time, but also there's an equipping of God's children, verses 20 and 21 of our text. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lie is of the truth. We have an equipping of the Holy Spirit. We do. When we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us from that very moment. And But there's some dangerous teaching about that, and there's some misinterpretation of scriptures about that. But the fact is, we have the Holy Spirit, and if you are not quenching the Spirit, and you are studying God's Word, and you're faithful to church, and that's important to do, then when you do hear false teaching, when you do hear doctrines of devils, you're going to recognize it, because the Holy Spirit is going to bring these things. You're going to remember what the Scriptures say, and you're going to say, that doesn't make a lot of sense. That's not what the Scriptures say, and there's something wrong with that. We're equipped with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does so many things for us. John 14, verse 26, the Lord speaking to his disciples, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And we have that Holy Spirit. He comforts us, because the Lord is saying, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send a Comforter. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. And not only will he be there to comfort you, he will teach you all things. He'll bring to remembrance the things that I taught you. And that's exactly what he does. And that's why we ought to, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We got to memorize it. We got to be in it. And then the amazing thing is the Holy Spirit will bring those things to your mind. You'll hear something, you'll say, "No, that's not right. That teaching's not right. That doctrine's not right." We have we got to know the truth. That's the thing. You got to know the truth. You don't have to study false religion. You don't have to take a comparative religions course. You just need to study the truth, and you'll understand. And I don't know how this example gets used many times. I've heard it many times, but it's true. The people that identify counterfeit money, they know what the real money looks like, and then you can identify counterfeit. You know what God's word truly says. You know the truth. You study it. Not just read it, you study it. You don't just say, "Well, that's what my church believes." You get in there and you find out, and you have that conviction yourself, and you understand that, and then you'll know, because you have the Holy Spirit. You'll remember those things that you were taught, and because it's Scripture, and it'll protect you from giving in to false teaching. 1 John 2 and verse 27, I know we'll probably, Lord willing, get there later, but it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him that abideth in you," again, speaking of the Holy Spirit, "and ye need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now, some people take that verse and they say, "See, I don't need anyone to teach me. I don't need church. See, I have the Holy Spirit, and I don't need a teacher." That is inconsistent with Scripture, and that's a false interpretation of what's that saying. Again, it does not mean that we don't need church and that we don't need to be taught. We do need those. And the Bible is filled with, you can't just take a verse. You can't just take a little phrase in a verse and build a whole doctrine on it. You have to compare Scripture with Scripture. You have to understand proper hermeneutics, and that's just simply how to study the Bible properly. I'm not trying to just use big words. I don't know that many big words. Luke knows some big words. I couldn't name the six Persian kings. He said that, and I was like, he's like, "You might be embarrassed." I'm like, "I'm embarrassed. I don't know." Like, that was tough. But he's clearly, I'm learning that Brother Luke is a history buff nerd. So that's pretty cool, though. I like that. I'm learning a lot, and I'm thankful for that. But I got to not do stuff like that because I get myself off track. We do need to be taught. 2 Timothy 2 and by the way, we just read John 14, 26. Or I know I read it to you. It was in my notes. The things that Jesus taught them, they needed to be taught. We're supposed to be, I got to get there. Stop talking for a second. 2 Timothy 2, 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." See how there was a progression there? that Timothy, he learned. He probably learned from his mom and his grandmother, and he definitely learned from Paul. And he was saying, and you need to teach it to others who will be able to teach it to others. We do need to be taught. We do need the teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You want to talk about a fairy tale? False teaching. So we do need teachers. And he was exhorting Timothy to teach him, preach the word, teach the word. We are given pastors and teachers, as the Bible says. They were a gift that he gave to his church. And by the way, what did he tell the church? Look at, we know this, but just turn there. Matthew chapter 28. We don't get to say that we don't need teaching when the Lord himself commanded the church that he started to teach. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So he says, go and teach. And then when people are saved, then baptize them. And when they're baptized, disciple them. Teach them. Teach them what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded unto you. So the Bible is very clear that we're supposed to teach. So you can't just take a portion of 1 John 2 and portion of that verse and say, see, I don't need a teacher. Well, yes, you do. If he commanded the church to go out and teach, and that means you need a teacher, and I need a teacher, and we need it. We need it so that we can be grounded in the things of God. To be, we need to be taught. We need to be taught, and we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches us, and he brings to remind. He brings, but how does he teach us? It's you don't just like spontaneously gain the knowledge. You get it from his word. But now that you have the Holy Spirit, you can understand the things that were, when you were lost, were foolishness to them, as the Bible says. It doesn't make sense. The Bible doesn't make sense to the lost. It does look like foolishness. It does look like fiction to the lost. But when the Lord saves you and you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to understand, because he's going to give you that understanding. But we need the truth. That's the way he set it up. We don't just spontaneously, you know, get that knowledge. We need to be taught. And that's why Sunday school is not just for kids. It's not. And I understand when people, well, Sunday school, that's not in the Bible. Well, it's telling us to teach. We're supposed to be taught. And so, like, we need it. Like, there's nothing wrong with Sunday school. But there's a lot of things right with Sunday school. And I don't, you know, you don't have to get there and be like, oh, you know who founded it and all that. Like, listen, the Bible says that we're supposed to teach it. So, like, we need it. And we are, and one of the qualifications of a bishop is to be apt to teach. And so we have to teach. We can't take a portion of a verse and build a whole doctrine on it. That's where most of pretty much false religion comes from, is just building doctrine on a verse, or just ripping verses out that don't agree, or just putting little prefixes at the beginning of books saying, this book is actually not true, and stuff like that. That's just wild. I just, like, really? Wow. And so that almost sounds fake, but I believe you. I just, all right. And so we have the equipping of the Holy Spirit, and there's so much. I mean, we're so enabled by the Holy Spirit. And then but then again, there's this encouragement to continue. He said, "Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning." And again, we can go back to even, you know, what we've read so far and studied so far in 1 John. Jesus Christ is from the beginning. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And he's from the beginning, and the truth is from the beginning. And he says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. We ought to cling to the truth. Let that therefore abide in you. Hold on to it. Abide. Again, that word abide means to continue, to dwell, to rest, to remain and stay. It's to be firm, to be unmovable. You need to abide near him. So we need to remain. We need to abide. Again, there's a couple of references in 1 and 2 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 4 in verse 16. He said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So he's saying, take heed to yourself and take heed to the doctrine, cling to the teaching of God's word, and continue in them. Brother Roland was preaching, and he started talking about the different people types in Proverbs, and he started talking about the fool and how the fool is the one that knows what they're supposed to do, but goes ahead and does the wrong thing anyways. That's foolish. In fact, we heard about the fool in today's reading, and we ought to, if we know, and again, he says, I'm not writing unto you because you don't know the truth. He's talking to saved people. He's talking to people that were taught. They understand the truths of God's word, what they had. And he's saying, I'm telling you this because you know it, but you need to continue in it. You need to cling to the truth. 2 Timothy, I should have just put my other bookmark in somewhere in 1 and 2 Timothy. Three. 13 and 14, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and in that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then it gets down into, and then the scripture, and all of it's profitable. And we need to study it. And he's saying that you need to cling to these things. You've been taught them. You've been assured of them. You've had wonderful teachers in your life, Timothy. You need to continue in those things and cling to those things and teach others those things. And that's how you're going to remain. That's how you're going to continue. Don't get to where you're like, oh, I got it all figured out. I don't need Sunday school because I've been in church for 60 years, you know. I've been in church for 5 years. I'm good. I've learned it all. I've read through the Bible. That's that kind of pride is dangerous. We are encouraged to continue. We always need to be taught. We always need. I had for a few years, and then I gave it to her son because he wanted it, and I wasn't going to tell her son no. But Sister Hall, she was nagging. Nah, that sounds terrible. Mrs. Hall was asking me after I was called to preach. She said, I gave Matt a Bible. I want to give you a Bible. Let me give you a Bible. What Bible do you want? And she kept doing it. I'm like, I don't want you to buy me a Bible, Mrs. Hall. Like, don't. And she kept bringing it up. And finally, I was like, you know, what would mean a lot more to me? I got a Bible. In fact, now I got this other new Bible. That was before then. But I said, I'd rather just have one of your old Bibles. And that would mean a lot to me. And she gave me that. It was like on her, was it like 99th birthday? We stopped by her house. Yeah, in the front yard. It was kind of during COVID. I think that she went and she gave me her old Bible. And I had so much fun flipping through those pages and reading the things that she wrote down. She had a heart. I mean, she was, sometimes she must not have a piece of paper, and she was just writing down, it says, Brother Hugin. She just wrote her outline, like on the first page of the Bible or just wherever she had a blank spot in there. She was writing down outlines. She was 99 years old, and it was work to try to understand what she wrote down because her hand was shaking so much. But it was a blessing for me. The heart that this lady had, and that's by the way why my Ellie's middle name is Violet, because of Sister Hall, and she meant and still means so much to me. And before I gave that Bible back to Daniel, I read it again, and I took some pictures of things because I wanted to still have, at least to be able to look at it. But she had this hunger. She had this desire to learn. And even, I remember Pastor was going through the book of Acts, like around 2020, and she was like, can I get the book, like, for the study on that? I mean, she wanted to. She was digging into the scriptures. And at the same time, physically couldn't do much and still would walk the aisle and say, I wish I was doing more. I mean, that's the kind of heart that we all ought to have. And if there's one thing I was reminded of this weekend is just the brevity of life. And that's really, really on my heart. It's just, we don't have that much time. And we need to, but in that short amount of time, we could stop serving the Lord as we should. And so we're encouraged to remain. We're encouraged to continue. Keep studying. There's never going to be a time where you can say, I got it all figured out. I'm good. Paul couldn't say it. Who are we? I mean, Mrs. Hall didn't say it. And you might not know who she was personally. Maybe you do know her. I know Pastor Titus knew her. And he knew her well before I did because, you know, I'm 36 now. And he knew her for a while. But what a blessing. You know, and that's the other thing. When you continue, when you're faithful over the years, that is an encouragement to those around you to say, look, there's someone that stuck with it. We see a lot of people leave. Some people do leave over the years, but then you see people that stick around. It's just like, I want to be like that. I want to be that person that somebody, not because of me, but saying, give glory to God and say, look, people do continue. If we're being told to continue, then we can be enabled to do it, but we need to heed the warning of the scriptures. We need to be in the scriptures. We need to not quench the spirit and not give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Don't give into your flesh. Don't try to go into the darkness. Don't get to where you don't love the brethren. Like all these things that have been in this chapter even, it all goes together. I'm not trying to grab a few verses and do it. It all, remember, there's the whole rest of the chapter here around this. And all these things are just admonishing us to continue because of all these things and because we have the Holy Spirit and ultimately for His glory. And it'll be by His grace and by His glory that any of us can stand before Him and never have departed from the faith. But we must cling to the truth and we must continue. I put in the Trinity, and really he says in verse, and that was just me trying to have a T there, I'm not going to lie, but he said there, verse 24, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And then again, we read in verse 20 that we have the Holy Spirit. And so all three of them, and it's one God and three persons. But we need to continue in Him and in His strength. And we have God the Father, and He sent the Son. He's the one that we pray to. We don't pray to Jesus. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And all three of them are involved. And we ought to continue in them. And He'll enable us. The Holy Spirit will enable us. He'll, again, bring these teachings to mind. But we got to be in them. We got to not quench the Spirit. And so we need to continue. I'll leave you with Hebrews 10. In verse 23 through 25. These are not, I'm not trying to bring new stuff. If I was trying to bring new stuff, then you would be kicking me out of here, rightfully so. Hebrews 10, 23. I'm in 11. I was like, wait, Moses? Hold on. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Okay, so we're supposed to hold fast the profession of our faith. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And again, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And again, I can't do that if I'm not here. I can't exhort you. We can't exhort one another if we're not faithful to the house of God. We need to be, he says again, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We just read about it. It is the last time. There's Antichrist everywhere. There's people that are leaving, apostatizing, they're leaving the truth. And we see the day approaching, do we not? And so it says, and so much the more, we need to be faithful to the house of God. And again, I'm so thankful. And I know not everyone that wanted to go to the conference at Flat Rock and would, you know, was able to. But I love going to Bible conferences. And that was before I was called to preach. I love going to Bible conferences because I need it. I need the preaching of the Word of God. And you do too. And that's why, like, we ought to be, you know, make an effort to go to these services. Yes, it's encouraging to the church. Yes, it's encouraging. You know, I was encouraged to see those from faith that were there. It does. It blesses my heart. And it was good. I mean, there were like five or six churches represented there. And not a huge turnout either, but there were some people from each church. And but why did they come? I hope. And if you've seen me enough here, I'm sure if you were coming, it wasn't for that. But just we need that teaching. We need that preaching. We need that keep going, continue. And we need the warnings of Scripture because it is the last time. And Satan is really good, really good. I can't, it just bothers me so much and honestly scares me to see churches, to see pastors being led into false teaching that people that had been true for, you know, they've been faithful for a while and they go ahead and they're tricked. They're seduced by a false doctrine. And we need to be, nobody's happy about that either. Like if you're happy about that or there's a problem there. We ought to be heartbroken when people leave. But we ought to hold fast without wavering our profession of faith. There's evidence all around us that we're in the last days. And sadly, there are many spiritual casualties around us. There's many that didn't continue. But we have the Holy Spirit. You have the truth. The truth is only found. The Lord said of his own kind of church, they are the pillar and ground of the truth. And we have the truth. And we have everything we need to continue. But we need to do it. It doesn't make sense to know the stuff, to know the teachings of the Word of God, and then just not do it. That actually makes you the fool that's described. We do that. We continue in the faith by clinging to the truth in His strength. And I would just add, you can't continue in the truth if you don't know the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Again, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. There's a lot of false teaching. And I understand for someone that's not taught or they're not, you know, they're not grounded in the faith, religion's got to be the most confusing thing because, well, this group over here seems really zealous and that group seems really zealous. Everybody says that they have the truth. And that's really confusing for someone that doesn't know it. And I completely understand that. It starts by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and putting your faith and trust in Him. And again, when He saves you, then we receive the Holy Spirit. And now all of a sudden, this book starts to make a lot more sense because we have the Holy Spirit. But again, we do need to be in the true church. And that's why I say it's by God's grace. I grew up and I went to the Church of Christ in Flat Rock. There's like 58,000 churches in Flat Rock, it feels like. You just go down Gibraltar Road and the Church of Christ came and picked me up on a big white bus, and we would go there for VBS. I can still picture that, and I was pretty young, and we'd go there for VBS. No, they stopped coming. And then someone invited me to go to Flat Rock when I was in second grade. And you know what? Like, someone could say, well, see, it's just because you grew up in that church. No, it's because of God's grace that He led me there. He brought me there. That's why none of us can take the credit for having the truth. All I can do is sit there and be like, it doesn't make sense. This is what I told people at Flat Rock the whole weekend, because everybody kept asking me, like, how's it going, you know, praying for you. And I don't really have that many words. I don't know what to say other than I'm spoiled. I don't understand why God's been so good to me. And I do understand it's for His glory, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that, but he's good, isn't he? And I just, all I could tell him is I'm just so spoiled, and I'm thankful for this church. And got up here and saying, come and dine. You know, when I, and by the way, I guess it's been three years that Fly Rock had the new hymn books. I keep saying last year, but time just gets away from me. And we got that new hymn book, and it has Come and Dine, and the old hymn book doesn't have Come and Dine. But I remember coming to the conferences here and hearing Come and Dine. And that's where I actually heard the hymn for the first time. So when I hear that hymn, I think of this church. And I just wanted to share that with you. I love this church. And I've only been here for a couple of months, but the Lord has his churches. And he's so good to us. And I'm so thankful. I'm just spoiled. That's all I got to say. I'm spoiled. And all of us are spoiled that he's been so good to us. And but let's continue. Continue in those things. And again, you can't continue if you don't know him. And my prayer is that the Lord would save you if you don't know him as your personal Savior. If you are saved, that he would lead you to join a true church. And I just happen to know of a really good one. And it ain't because of me. Believe me, it ain't because of me. And it's because of God. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. Lord, you gave us your word. Lord, you gave us your Son. You paid the penalty for sin that we could never pay. You gave us your word to show us that. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take the truth for granted. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take lightly the things that we've been taught. Lord, if we're not grounded in the truth, in the faith, in the doctrine that of a true New Testament church, that I, with my whole heart, believe this is a true church, Lord, I pray we'd take it seriously. And Lord, if we're not grounded, I pray that we would be, that we'd get into your word. This is the kind of church that doesn't say, believe what we say. We say, look at the scriptures, and it reveals what we believe. And Lord, we just pray that you'd allow us to continue, Lord, by your grace, that we wouldn't become the sum that depart from the faith. Lord, that we would remain faithful. And we know that it's only by your grace. But Lord, we're responsible. We're responsible to be in your word, to be faithful to church, to be close to you, to not quench your spirit. And I pray that you would enable us to do that, and that we would do that, and that would be our heart's desire. Father, we just thank you for this time we were able to have in your house this morning. Pray that you continue to bless throughout the remainder of the day as we meet together later on. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We'll go ahead and sing two verses.